In our last episode, we caught up with speakers at the inaugural Texas UFO Convention in Jefferson, Texas, to talk about a historical crash of a purportedly alien craft in Aurora, Texas. The craft's sole occupant was buried in a nearby cemetery. Today, we talk to archivist Stephen Miles Lewis, founder and director of Anomaly Archives, a nonprofit organization that collects and archives such reports of unusual and unexplainable occurrences. Lewis, who is also known as S. Miles or Smiles, explains the importance of creating such an archive.
There really is some important stuff going on, like at Rice University with their Archive of the Impossible. I was honored to be on their panel discussing archives that are trying to preserve this kind of material and to educate the public about it. And my own nonprofit in Austin, Texas, the Anomaly Archives. And the one that was just announced yesterday that I was mentioning, that's in New Mexico, that's the National UFO Historical Records Center, that's organized by David Marler. There's great things afoot right now. But there's also, as always, there always has been a lot of BS and disinformation and misinformation. And I would just urge people to take everything with a grain of salt, try to keep an open mind and a level head, because it's easy to lose one's footing when looking into these kinds of subjects. There's just so many rabbit holes one can get sucked down into.
Lewis began the Scientific Anomaly Institute, or Anomaly Archives, as it is known, in 2003, as a 501c3 nonprofit.
Its goals are preservation and public education. We want to preserve the libraries, the personal libraries of researchers and experiencers and witnesses and other seekers, investigators, as well as their, more importantly, their personal correspondence, their personal notes and that sort of thing. Any evidence that they might have accumulated or created in the course of their search for answers to whatever they're interested in. We largely focus on UFOs, but we're also interested in parapsychology and all things anomalous, and that can be everything from the history of human belief in Atlantis to crop circles to cryptozoology, Bigfoot, you know, lake monsters, that sort of thing. Pretty much anything that science either has been unwilling to even look into or just is immediately dismissive of, and just to preserve that and educate people about that material.
How many records have you got so far?
We have over 7,000 books, thousands of periodicals, and thousands of digital files and paper files. And we're not the biggest in the world. Like I was reporting, this new, well, it's been around for a while, but David Marler's archive in New Mexico is pretty tremendous. But the biggest one is in Sweden, the AFU, Archives for the Unexplained. And it would be nice to get competitive with the Swedes and get an equally substantial archive here. Again, the Rice University archive is just, it's massive in terms of its importance, being that they've got some of the leading researchers across those different fields donating their personal collections.
What's your background? What drove you into this particular field of research?
Well, and I should say that this is not my day job. In my day job, I've regularly worked for libraries and archives throughout my life, but I am not an accredited librarian or archivist. Just a fascination. I often tell people that when I was a kid, I could remember my dreams better than everybody I knew. And to me, dreams are the everyday experience that we all have with the paranormal. You know, every night people are dreaming, and every night they're having very strange experiences that portend something more about the nature of reality. And I had a variety of what I would say not very elaborate psychic experiences as a child, you know, typical things that people have whether they be synchronicities of thinking about a person that you haven't seen or thought of in years and the phone rings and it's them, or the sense of some kind of telepathic communication with a loved one, to the occasional seemingly precognitive dream or vision and all those things. And growing up on science fiction really, you know, just got me thinking about, well, we can't be the only intelligent things in this vastness of space. And, you know, being raised by a parent who taught me to question authority and to entertain the possibility that there's more to reality than we're being told by the authorities. So those are just very simple ways that I got into this and just started reading on the subjects and have just gotten deeper and deeper. It's not the rabbit hole. It's how I choose to spend my time.
Can you talk about some of the information that you presented?
I gave examples of historic Texas UFO cases from over the years, the decades, and how pieces of the history that document this are strewn across the landscape in different universities. So I talked about how, whether it's the Loveland UFO cases or the Lubbock Light cases or the mysterious Marfa lights in West Texas or the Bragg Road, Ghost Road mystery lights in East Texas, all these things have been investigated and material created to document and to these investigations. And those little bits of pieces of history end up in kind of these different silos, mostly academic special collections at different libraries and universities. And so I'm kind of advocating that's good. That's good that those are being archived. But it's I think it would be better for them to also be collected into organizations that is their focus. It's not just, oh, we've got this weird stuff in this special file and nobody ever asks for it. But again, working in libraries and archives as I have, I just find the spirit of libraries, librarians, is it's giving. It's of trying to help people find information that they're interested in. And, you know, I remember so many years ago, back when the internet first started, like what was the first, the most sought after things besides pornography was UFOs. And I think it's a topic that's regularly of much interest to people because it tickles their curiosity about the nature of things and makes them think about how things might be beyond, again, what the mainstream tries to tell us. So.
Where does Texas fit in to the archive?
There's just such a rich history in Texas, being such a big state. But again, sightings going back to the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, and like the 1800s, the airship stuff, that's great stuff. You know, I know a lot of people, a lot of hardcore UFO researchers dismiss the Aurora case. And some dismiss all the airship cases as just being journalists trying to make up, trying to one-up each other. Yeah, it's been demonstrated that there is absolute evidence of fakery in some of these cases, especially with airship cases. But as with everything in the UFO phenomena, there's enough of a kernel of truth there, I think, that it merits not just throwing the baby out with the bathwater, as they say.
Stephen Miles Lewis is the founder and director of Anomaly Archives, a nonprofit organization that collects and archives reports of unusual and unexplainable occurrences. He was one of several featured speakers in the first Texas UFO convention in Jefferson, Texas. For KTXK Think Radio, I'm Sabrina McCormick.